Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Now, COVID-19 has resulted in a number of transitions in the workforce and is likely to accelerate the adoption of disruptive technologies due to the increase in remote working, social distancing, and internet traffic. In the digital age, data centers have a unique responsibility in times of crisis. The internet is vital to nearly every industry, and it relies on data centers to function. Collaboration's driven cloud computing growth for years now. As these services become more crucial than ever, data centers must be able to support a rapidly expanding cloud. Though this migration was expected to happen eventually, it's occurring at a much faster rate than anticipated. With this in mind, what changes should businesses see in the workforce, and how can they adapt to an increasingly digital future? We're finding out from Omar Wilson, who is Marketing Vice President for APEC with Digital Realty. Omar, thanks for joining us today. Hope you're keeping safe where you are.
Thanks, Ali. I'm good, and I hope likewise.
So talk to us about this expanding role, or ever crucial, more crucial role of data centers, among other essential and critical services, and the sort of role they'll play in this pandemic.
Sure. I think it's safe to say one of the main things that this pandemic has shown us is the sheer reliance of the modern world on digital technology, really to communicate, to work, to play, to call loved ones, and just to function when we're all remote. And to do that, really, you can't do anything in this day and age without data centers. So they're almost the beating heart of the global economy, of the global infrastructure network. And I'd say that along with other key network provisions, network infrastructure. But then it all comes back to a data center. So really everything we do and everything we're doing at home now to, you know, keep ourselves going, for those of us that, you know, don't go outside for the critical roles, you know, we're very reliant now on these data center infrastructure.
Do you think it's one of those things that people don't really think about, the data center? It's like air conditioning. If you don't have it, you'll feel it. But whilst it's there, you don't really accord the importance that it plays.
I think it's a great point. I think what's happened as well is more technology is being moved to what would be called the cloud, or even if you look at some of the, you know, future trends of technology, how technology will just become everywhere and almost nowhere, so you won't see it. That's what happens. It moves to this cloud infrastructure, which is not sitting necessarily in your home anymore, you know, even not on laptops, you know, it's gone to the mobile phone. But behind that, when you're streaming anything on your TV, you know, you're watching shows, you're playing games, you're emailing, that's going through these really critical buildings, which host all the data and host all that infrastructure.
So the current situation's really accelerated its role, or shall we say enhanced the role of the data center?
Absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, if you look at any of the numbers over the last, you know, 2-3 months that lockdowns have started appearing across the world, in Asia alone, you know, internet traffic has gone up by, they estimate, around 30%. And as other countries on other parts of the world became locked down, they reached those levels. So you're talking about roughly 30% more traffic in general passing through the, you know, the world's infrastructure. And the need there to support that is only going to grow. And likewise from the, you know, the technology companies that provide the solutions, like the cloud providers and the cloud service providers. If you look at any of the statements they're making, you know, some of them are seeing 600-700% growth in the last few months on their services, because, you know, businesses are at home, businesses are needing more online video conferencing. But not just that, you know, the industries like e-learning, you know, people are having to download more e-learning apps.
Yeah.
So in places like China, you're seeing huge spikes in download numbers of these education apps, remote learning apps.
On a smaller scale, though, we experienced some as we started to work from home, that the internet was lagging a wee bit. Do you think the global infrastructure is robust enough to tackle the increased traffic, if you will?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think if you look around the world, and we as, you know, global data center provider, no different at Digital, that it's safe to say the global infrastructure has held up well. You know, there's moments, you know, even when I do video conferencing, you know, you see little drops in quality, and there's probably other parts of the world where that's been a bit more pronounced. But the issue to raise there is that the fact that it's going is a testament to the global infrastructure, because it's very hard to prepare for whole, you know, millions of parts of a country all being at home or all being online at once during the day. It's quite new territory, and it seems the internet and the network has held up well. It's being expanded. If you look at any other parts of the infrastructure world, like data centers themselves, you know, having to be constructed to meet demand, it's the same in the network and telecoms world. They're having to add some new infrastructure to expand because, you know, if this becomes, as they call, a new normal, then the infrastructure's got to keep up.
I was about to ask you what you thought the post-pandemic world might look like with regard to, say, data centres. Has it, say, the current situation held back anything, say, 5G rollout, or has it pushed that to be rolled out much quicker?
I think, you know, there's certainly parts of infrastructure growth at the moment which is on hold for obvious reasons. As, you know, as countries adapt and react and look to the health of their workers and you know, the most critical parts of this response, which is the health and well-being of people. But that sort of delay phase is really going to be an initial delay. I think more, I'd agree with the second part of your point, which was the speeding up of technology adoption, which I think, you know, it's safe to say that digital transformation generally was happening across the world. You know, you can just see that from how we use technology, how we stream more than we used to go to cinemas, how we, you know, constantly online, video, mobile usage in emerging markets alone. That was all happening. I think what's happened now is the acceleration, you know, with the current situation with the pandemic really speeding up adoption across all spectrums of technology. And as you said, with rollouts of technology, what a lot of providers are actually looking to do now is probably bring forward rollouts of key technology infrastructure as our governments.
Omar, what's happened to some of the obstacles, though, that might have impeded technological deployment pre-COVID-19? Have they just magically disappeared, or what's happening?
Yeah, good question. Definitely not magically disappearing. I think what's probably going to happen is you're going to see a reallocation of funds and focus, so to speak.
Okay.
Because this becomes, you know,
critical.
The critical and the only way to function for nearly all, if this carries on as it is, or even if there's a semblance of it, if you can see from, you know, what Gartner and some of the analysts are predicting around home working and how companies are thinking, you know, maybe a certain percentage of my workforce can continue to work from home. So that suddenly shifts the requirement on the infrastructure and the network. And so the obstacles that may have existed before for providers or governments or infrastructure providers still there. They don't magically go, but you suddenly find that people have a lot more focus and funds from other areas, maybe, to say, no, the digital infrastructure world is what I need just to continue to compete.
Where, though, will they be dragging funds from? I mean, what sort of departments or where from the business might suffer?
That's a good question. You know, we can't develop without change in parts. I think it's going to be interesting how different companies and different locations approach it. I think I'd go back to the earlier point that this was happening. So I don't think it's a paradigm shift. I think it's just around timing and timescales. And you'll find, you know, humans and global economies are very ingenuitive. So you'll see new ways and new providers appear. And even new sectors appear. You know, it's almost, if you tie it again to how AI and artificial intelligence is sweeping across sectors, and that's going to play a part in this, is that there's new sectors that's going to come from the adoption of AI that we don't know about today. Similarly, in terms of how the world adopts and keeps going to this new, be it 6 months, a year, 2 years, you know, however this keeps current situation keeps in part, or maybe even after that, do we go to a new format of living and working, you'll find, you know, new providers appear, and you'll find this just transformation just speed up because that technology was already in the plan works for many companies and a lot of cities and nations, some more advanced than others like Singapore, but all of them looking at their making that digital journey.
So almost safe to say, despite the fact that everything is so fluid now, that the focus should be digitally transforming.
Yes, it has to be. It's almost without
imperative,
an option now for countries, companies, and individuals. I think questions though need to be raised and asked still around keeping the human connection. Now you'll hear a lot of that, I think, from a lot of the large technology companies with AI, that there's risks there, you know, about over tracking, over sharing of data. So there's big debates raging now around how to own and, you know, correctly use data at an individual level. And I think the current pandemic will also, you know, speed up those debates and those discussions, and a happy medium needing to be found, because digital is going to be there. Digital is speeding up, but what do we do about the human connection? You know, we can remote learn, we can remote video conference, but at the end of the day, we're all human, and we want to have that human touch.
Right.
So there needs to be a happy medium between the human and the technology side of how we live.
Omar, it also sounds like there should be some focus on security as well. If everything's floating around on the cloud and the internet, how about some cybersecurity measures?
It, completely. I think that's going to be, one of the debates and developments that was ongoing as the world transformed digitally already. And now you'll see it with any of the news items you want to look at from any part of the world, almost the hacking of the video conferencing calls.
Yeah.
People, just as a prank, even youngsters sharing IDs and then getting in big trouble because, companies and states having to control that. So I think that is an area which can only increase, because as we move more and more of our daily lives online, unfortunately, there's going to be that part of society which wants to attack that or take that or use that. So you'll find that sector really increase. And again, just bringing it back to the AI side of things, I think there's big paradigm shifts coming there around how do we protect encryption in a world where you're getting computers and AI level of technology, which is incredible power to break that encryption. So there's a lot of development and discussions around how we build solutions almost using that power to protect how we operate as well.
Discussion amongst whom?
I think that discussion is happening amongst the large tech companies, the large social non-government bodies. There's a lot of discussion around how data is shared and protected, and also amongst nations and associations and groups of nations. Because I don't think it's not a single company problem. It's not a single country problem. Because we're a global village now, and I think this current pandemic has shown that even more. And when it comes to securing your data, unfortunately, you can't secure that in just one location.
Yeah.
And say, I'm completely secured. You need a collaboration between state, between corporations, and between corporations and the individual.
Omar Wilson, Marketing Vice President for APAC with Digital Realty. Omar, thanks for joining us today, and stay safe.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.